Moses goes for the hearts of the people. You'll see it in our text today. He wants their hearts because he knows the heart is the most important part of our lives. Where the heart goes is where you will go. That's why he has the urgency. That's why he is so passionate. And remember, Moses talked with God like no one else. So Moses understands in a way like no one else does as well. He's fired up. And here's the question then for us today. Are we fired up about healthy hearts?
Hi, and welcome back to Live in the Light. I'm your host, Craig Turnbull, and with me in studio is our teacher, Pastor Robbie Simons. We're so thankful that you've joined us here again today, and we like to say thankful. We really do mean it. We're thankful for you tuning us in every day. We're thankful for the many words of encouragement that have been sent our way. We're thankful for the financial support from some of you, and we're also most thankful for your prayers. We believe strongly that this ministry is being carried along by the Lord, and your prayers mean a great deal to us. So please keep them coming, okay? And let us know that you've been praying, and let us know how this ministry has been encouraging you by connecting through our website at liveinthelight.ca. That's liveinthelight.ca. Or you can phone us up at 1-844-22-LIGHT. That's 1-844-225-4448. Well, we've been going on in our series, A Healthy Heart, and we've noticed that the heart carries with it the understanding in the Bible of the mind, of the affections, and of the will. We've been looking at all of those already, and now today, Robbie, we turn to the fruit of this kind of heart.
Yeah, we learned today that the heart is not just explained and exhorted within the New Testament, but this is also a powerful Old Testament principle as well. And we're going to see here Moses was just as concerned about the heart as Jesus was or Paul was. And so how exciting to think of being back there with the people of God and the Israelites as they are exhorted again in the Lord to walk in his ways and to allow their hearts to be aligned with him. So loved ones, when your heart is healthy, you will find certain fruits will start to come with it. And that's what we see today from our text, specifically four fruits of a healthy heart. It's kind of a great way, Craig, take a little bit of a test or a little bit of a self-exam and say, how's my heart doing? Is it healthy? Because I'll find out if it is healthy, I can see these four things happening. So tune in, be excited, and let's pray that God does some great things.
All right, well, let's take that test together as a family. Let's turn in our Bibles to Deuteronomy chapter 10, and here again is Pastor Robbie.
So you might remember when we began this series, we thought it'd be 4 weeks, but we just realized even before week one, it was just too important. We got to continue and keep going on for this really fundamental series of the biblical heart. You could say this, the first 4 weeks was kind of the introduction to the heart. We learned about the mind, the affections, and the will. The next 3 weeks, Lord willing, we're going to be looking at the application of the heart, really specifically. What does it mean now to take, you can look at it this way, that we've got our diploma in the biblical heart of understanding, but it's not enough just to have theory in your mind. Now you got to take that and live it. So let's get our diploma and let's get out and start working now. Let's get our careers going as living out the healthy heart. And you know, in many ways, in Deuteronomy 10, that's exactly what's going on. The instruction has been given. The laws have been given. The teaching is there. And now Moses stands before this new generation of God's people and says, you know what to do. Now you just got to go do it. Now you got to live out the truth that you've been given. Deuteronomy is a sermon, or it's a set of sermons given by Moses to the Israelites just as they're about to enter into the promised land. Moses is preaching to them shortly before his death. He knows it. This is amazing. Moses knows he's not going to the promised land. yet he stands with such urgency and passion, and he gives these fired up sermons. Why? Because he knows what's at stake. He loves God so much, and he loves God's people so much that he's not wasting time. He's not pulling punches. He's not fooling around. And therefore, because he knows what's at stake, he comes with a fire. He comes with the urgency. He comes with a passion. So, you know, any preacher who stands up and doesn't have an urgency upon his heart and soul and doesn't have a passion of some kind, whether his passion is like my passion, his urgency, he's got to have an urgency or a passion, or he doesn't get it. Any guy who stands up with the word of God and casually going, oh, whatever, and tells a few jokes and does this kind of stuff, he doesn't get it. This isn't a game we're playing. This is life and death, man. This is a matter of there's heaven and there's hell. There's worshiping Christ or under the rule of Satan. I mean, this is absolutely life and death stuff. And so urgency is required. Passion should be there at the forefront. We're not lackadaisical going through the motions. You can't yawn your way through to heaven. There's no way. If that's where someone is, that person doesn't get the intensity and the mandate of living for Christ. Our time is now. There is no time to waste. Moses gets this. This is my favorite part of the context of this text. I resonate so deeply with where Moses is at. He stands before the people and he urges them. But this is what he goes for. Moses goes for the hearts of the people. You'll see it in our text today. He wants their hearts because he knows the heart is the most important part of our lives. Where the heart goes is where you will go. That's why he has the urgency. That's why he is so passionate. And remember, Moses talked with God like no one else. So Moses understands in a way like no one else does as well. He's fired up. And here's the question then for us today. Are we fired up about healthy hearts? Are we? Are we bearing the fruit of a healthy heart? Well, that's what we find out today. Let's read our text. I'll pray, and then we will jump in. Deuteronomy 10, verse 12. Such a great passage. And now Israel, verse 12, and now Israel, Moses is preaching to them, what does the Lord your God require of you? But to fear the Lord your God, to walk in all his ways, to love this, to love him. He requires you to love him, to serve the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and to keep the commandments and statutes of the Lord, which I am commanding you today for your good. Behold, to the Lord your God belong heaven and the heaven of heavens, the earth with all that is in it. Yet the Lord set his heart in love on your fathers and chose their offspring after them, you above all peoples as you are this day. Circumcise therefore the foreskin of your heart and be no longer stubborn. For the Lord your God is God of gods and Lord of lords, the great, the mighty, and the awesome God, who is not partial and takes no bribe. He executes justice for the fatherless and the widow, and loves the sojourner, giving him food and clothing. Love the sojourner, therefore, for you were sojourners in the land of Egypt. You shall fear the Lord your God. You shall serve him, hold fast to him, and by his name you shall swear. He is your praise. He is your God who has done for you these great and terrifying things that your eyes have seen. Your fathers went down to Egypt, 70 persons, and now the Lord your God has made you as numerous as the stars of heaven. Chapter 11, verse 1. You shall therefore love the Lord your God and keep his charge, his statutes, his rules, and his commandments always. So you think you can get a sermon out of that text? Yes. Let's pray right now. But Father, it'll be no sermon of any value unless you decide to bless it, unless by your Spirit, Lord, you do the work. And so, Lord, I pray right now in a posture of humility, which I pray is true to my heart, the need for you and the desire for you. Oh God, the greatest desire I have for myself and for these wonderful people in Christ is that we would love you more. God, it's that simple, that our hearts would be so soft and pliable to love you more. I pray so much, God, against any hard heart, but in the grace of God, you will take a hard heart, you'll soften it by your love and your mercy. Please, oh God, would you do that? This wonderful, wonderful text, would you bless it again for your glory and your glory alone? May man not be seen at all. May Jesus Christ and the glory of the Father be lifted up so high that people would not walk out here saying anything else other than Jesus Christ is awesome and my God is awesome. May that prayer be answered, I pray today, Lord, for you. We love you so much, God. Love you and need you and desire for you to grow yourself within us, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So here is the concern of Moses. It's for healthy hearts. And what Moses does here in this text, he outlines four fruits of a healthy heart. You got them? You got the fruits of a healthy heart? We're going to find out right now, and let's find out. Here are four fruits of a healthy heart according to Deuteronomy chapter 10. How do I know if my heart is healthy? Number one is this: I will know the blessing of obedience. Okay, so if my heart is healthy, I will know the blessing found in obedience to the Lord. If my heart is healthy, I don't find God's commands burdensome. I don't find God's commands annoying. I don't find God's commands laborious. If I have a healthy heart, I see the commands of God as something that results in my greatest good and for His greatest glory. Verse 12, "And now, Israel, what does the Lord your God require of you?" Notice the verbs here. "But to fear the Lord your God, to walk in all His ways, to love Him, to serve the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul," notice, "and to keep the commandments and statutes of the Lord." Here is Moses standing before God's people, pouring out his heart with crystal clear clarity. Remember, Moses now has lived for 120 years approximately. He has seen a ton in his heart. He has learned so many valuable lessons, and he has seen more than he probably liked to see in the hearts of God's people as well. Moses knows this, though: there is no blessing from God without obedience to God. There is no blessing from God without obedience to God, starting with faith, bringing salvation by the grace and the mercy of God. And why does Moses know this? He knows this, that God will not be mocked. We will reap that which we sow. So therefore, if we don't love obedience, we will not see blessings upon our lives. So a huge part of the book of Deuteronomy is, you've got the truth, now go live it. I mean, that's a huge part of the whole entire Bible. Jesus Christ has given His life and sacrificed Himself for us that we might live. Don't take the truth and sit there and do nothing. Take the truth and love for God and go live it out in your life. Now, I want you to see in verses 12 and 13, I want you to see the kind of obedience that is required. Notice this obedience and taking the teaching we've had in this series so far and applying the biblical heart to these verses. Notice that this is not some external, legalistic, duty-driven obedience. It's not just going to grip the steering wheel tighter until my knuckles turn white and try harder and I'm going to do it. It's not that kind of obedience. Remember, the greatest commandment in Scripture, originating in Deuteronomy 6, is love. It's love for the Lord your God with all your heart. And see the heart in verses 12 and 13. Moses says, here's what God requires from you: to fear the Lord your God. What's that? That's the mind. That's an attitude, that's a belief, an opinion of the mind. It's a posture of, I will think in a way that I will fear the Lord. He then says this: God requires you to walk in all His ways, to love Him. What's that? That's the affections. If you walk after God, you are pursuing Him. You are loving Him. And loving Him, of course, is having affections for Him. We see the mind. We see the affection. And then Moses says, God requires you to keep the commandments and the statutes of the Lord. What do we do when we keep? That's an act of the will. That's the will portion of the heart. You are choosing to follow the Lord. So right in this verse, this requirement of obedience, we see the mind, we see the affections, and we see the will. And he says, and we are to serve the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. What's that? That's all three combined: mind, affections, and will. See, here's what Moses has seen in the hearts of God's people. Too often, Moses has seen a lack of fear and a lack of love and a lack of will following God. And he stands here in view of the promised land, and he's saying, people, you will not know the blessing of that land. You will not know the fruit of that land. You will not know the victory promised to you of that land unless your heart is right with God. Loved ones, I cannot say it enough. Everything comes down to the status of your heart. Everything comes down to the condition of your heart. Where your heart is where you will go. This is Deuteronomy. This is the whole message. I mean, read it through. God wants the hearts of his people. He doesn't want their external obedience as much as he wants internal obedience. This is the message of the Bible. This is Matthew 6:33. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and then all these things are added unto you. But you don't get the added things unto you until you seek first the kingdom of God and the righteousness of Jesus Christ. This is the heart of obedience that God is looking for. But as Moses goes through the requirements of the heart here in this passage, you can almost hear some of the hard hearts grumbling, because there were hard hearts within the camp of Israel. And you could almost hear some of the hard hearts grumbling, yeah, but obedience to God is boring. Obedience to God is laborious. Obedience to God, it's just no fun. Obedience to God and all his commands is just a bunch of rules. Ever had that heart before? That was my heart for over 2 decades. Yeah, I know what you want me to do, God, and I understand what you're asking me to do, but I don't like your ways. Your ways aren't fun. Your ways aren't my way. Your ways just want to make me miserable. Your ways are for my bad. I don't want your ways, God. And the hard heart looks at what God has commanded and rejects them because the hard heart thinks that he or she knows a better way. But here's what we find out about the hard heart. The hard heart is the foolish heart. And the foolish heart is the dumb heart. Because the dumb heart is so quick to deceive. What the hard heart does, it takes what God has set up for good and rejects it and turns it into sin. See, the hard heart, and here's the fundamental command right here in this text, the hard heart does not get, believe, or receive the last phrase of verse 13. You see it there? Here it is. Keep the commandments and statutes of the Lord, Moses says, which I am commanding you today. For, what does it say? For your good. Okay, that should be underlined. Which I'm commanding you today for your good. That phrase right there, loved ones, separates the healthy heart from the unhealthy heart. Don't you see? Just look at that phrase, for your good. Don't you see here? God does not command our obedience to be some punishing taskmaster. God is not some angry father sitting up in heaven saying, sit down and be quiet, and barking orders because he's miserable and wants to make us miserable. Some of us have grown up with fathers who were like that, and they were angry because they were angry, and they tried to make our lives miserable because, and whether they knew it or not, because they were miserable. That's not your God, all right? That is not even close to your God, obviously. The perfect, loving, grace, mercy-driven father who is in heaven. God commands our obedience because he loves us. The healthy heart understands when God says don't, God means don't hurt yourself. When God says if you choose to sin, then you choose to suffer, the healthy heart understands whatever God says is my best possible plan for my life 100% of the time. 100% of the time. Moses isn't standing up here in the sermon trying to be annoying. He's not delivering these commands and saying, okay, I just want to be a real pain in the neck to you right now, and I'm going to give all these commands so you can go, oh, and grumble. He's not doing that. He's doing that. He's not even going to the promised land. He is giving these commands because he loves his God so much, and therefore he loved God's people so much. And with all his heart, he says, you must listen, because this is the path to blessing. This is the path of obedience, and this is the path to God's glory. If you don't listen, loved ones, you're going to end up in misery and in death. Again, there's the urgency of it to understand. The healthy heart will know that there's so much blessing in obedience. And that's why the first fruit is, I must know the blessing of obedience. These are commands given to them then and us today for our good. And the healthy heart, when he hears that, the healthy heart says, amen. The healthy heart understands, yes, that's right. God only asks this of me because this is what's best for me. And the healthy heart says, I don't always like it, or my flesh tries to fight against it, and it's not always easy, but it's right, and it's good, and it's awesome because this is what God has commanded. But this is when my heart grieves. And my heart gets so saddened as I see the foolish teenager dismissing the commands of God as annoying and as getting in their way of their fun and their lives. But think about it. The teenager foolishly dismissing the perfect wisdom of God for a life of self-sin and self-satisfaction. That is the fruit of a hard heart. You cannot see that the reason God requires you to not be in sin is because he loves you. Or the foolish man who lives for his business, who lives for his money, who lives for his own achievement, who lives for his own success. And there are many men like this. And they walk around with puffed up chests. And if you ask them if they were on, they think they're all that. And they see the commands of God for the weak, for the ungifted, and for the naive. And they would even see a setting like this and see men in here like, what a bunch of losers. But he doesn't understand. As he is taking the holy, perfect, and awesome God who has commanded these things for his holiness and for his blessing, and he is dismissed and say, I am smarter than you, God. My heart grieves over that individual. Or for the foolish woman who parades around her body seeking for attention through superficial attraction and gives herself to a false system of beauty where she will be corrupted from the inside and hollowed out and have no satisfaction whatsoever. She has failed to see, and she refuses to believe that the Bible says that a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. That a gentle and quiet spirit is what is precious in the sight of God. But you see, that's when the healthy heart believes by faith that God's commands are for my blessing and resulting then in his glory. The healthy heart is completely convinced that where there's obedience, there's blessing. You know what 1 John 5:3 says? It says this, this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. The healthy heart says, that's right. This is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and the commandments of God are not burdensome. If you have found God's commands upon your life to be a burden, your heart is not where God wants it to be. You need to continue to grow to the place where you don't fight the commandments of God, and it's not that it's easy, but you submit saying, this is right, and I desire by God's strength to conform my life to what he desires, because again, that's the best possible plan for me. Hey, tell me this. How good does it feel to be in the will of God and know it? Let's take men again for an example. Men, how good does it feel to stand before your wife in a place of purity? How good does it feel? You're not perfect. I'm not perfect. We make mistakes. But how good does it feel to the best of God's spirit within you and your desire to please him that there are no secret sins hiding in some closet somewhere? You're not living a double life. You're not cheating in different ways in your life. You're not hiding things, but you can stand before your family and your loved ones and you can just know that you are seeking to live God to the best that you can that he's done you. That's an awesome feeling, isn't it? I mean, it's so great, the freedom of being in a place of purity with integrity and honesty, and just to stand and say, I have a clear conscience. That is awesome because that is God's will. Yet conversely, how awful does it feel to be living a double life, to have sins that you have hidden, to be cheating people that you love, to be hiding things from them you don't want to see, and all of a sudden you're living this whole life, you're trying not to get caught, and every turn you're like, did you see? That's horrific. That feels awful. Every moment, am I going to be found out? It feels awful. Because it's not the will of God. It feels awful because it's sin. The will of God feels awesome because God is awesome and his ways in our life are always best. But here's the lie. You are tempted to leave this place and the world lies to you and say, if you pursue X, you will be blessed. If it's sin, it's a lie. And you will find out sooner than later. And that's why some of you right now, you're in this place and you're miserable. You're miserable because you're outside of God's will. And you will continue, you might have a moment of pleasure. It will quickly be followed up with misery because only God's ways find fulfillment. And this is why Moses says, I command these things today for your good. That's the fruit of having a healthy heart, man. You believe and you know in the blessing of obedience. Here's the second fruit. I know the humility of being chosen. Love this, man. I will know the humility of what it means to be chosen by God Almighty. Verse 14, Moses continues. He says, behold, to the Lord your God belong heaven and the heaven of heavens, the earth with all that is in it. Yet the Lord set his heart in love on your fathers and chose their offspring after them, you above all peoples as you are this day. What is verse 14 saying? It's saying this: God is awesome. Whenever you hear that in church, man, your heart should leap in some ways. This is the whole thing that verse 14 is saying. Look at what belongs to your God if you are saved in him in verse 14. Look at what belongs to him. Don't look at me. Look at the verse there. Not just heaven belongs to God, but the heaven of heavens. What does that mean? This is the highest expression of heaven. This is exhausting the idea of heaven. So loved ones, take your greatest concept of your God, multiplied by infinity, and you haven't even begun to scratch the surface on the greatness, on the majesty, on the awesome nature of your God. Do you know that scientists estimate that there are as many stars in our universe as grains of sand in all the world's beaches? That's a lot. And we've talked about this in the past, but if you were to divide that through every single person currently living here on earth, that we each would individually own approximately, give or take a couple of trillion, 13 trillion stars each. That's a lot for every person on this earth. Your God is awesome. Yeah. Amen. Here's what John Piper says. He says, our planet Earth is a small part of our solar system. Gotta listen carefully to these stats, man, so you get it. Is a small part of our solar system that is 7.3 billion miles across. That's a bit of a hike. This solar system is a little speck in the galaxy called the Milky Way, which is 80,000 light years across. A light year, of course, is how far light travels in a year. Light travels at 186,000 miles per second. Wow. So our galaxy then is 480,000 trillion miles across. The nearest star to us is Alpha Centauri, would take 4.3 years to get to, traveling at the speed of light. The nearest neighboring galaxy would take 2.2 million years to get to at the speed of light. I mean, it's just mind-blowing. Think about who you are right now on this little earth right now. Needle, beady, little, deedy, beady, little. Not even that. You know, someone said, it's like we're a dot. Guy said, no, we're not even a dot. And we're not. And our God is massive. And he has named every single star. He is so far beyond our comprehension. Please don't ever think you can figure him out. Please don't ever think you can tell him what to do. Please don't ever think somehow you know his ways. You do not. He is infinitely, infinitely greater than anything we can ever imagine. He is so perfectly wise and holy and majestic. You know what's amazing to me too? It goes on to say in this verse, and it says, the heaven of heavens and the earth belong to him with all that is in it. So we get excited about owning our little piece of properties, don't we? Got my little piece of property and my little piece of grass, and I cut my lawn faithfully, and I like to stand in front and say, look at my house. And, you know, nothing wrong with making a house look good, but we make our house look pretty, and we decorate our windows and put up stuff, and we want people to think it's good. And went for a run recently, and I was looking at different houses. That's a nice house, whatever. And people trying so hard and making so much effort and pouring so much money to stand in front of their porch and say, look what I have, and look how pretty it is. And then there's God. He owns all the earth and everything in it. How does that make your little house look now? Hey, not like much as it should. See, the perspective of understanding your God is so glorious. Your God is so unbelievably amazing. And Moses here, he is setting up the transcendence of God, that he is above all and so massively amazing. Why does he do this? It's seen in the first word of verse 15. See it there? That word is yet.
If you'd like to hear this message again, or the rest of the messages from this series, you can find these free resources and more on our website at liveinthelight.ca. That's liveinthelight.ca. If you'd like to get a copy of the entire series, make sure you phone us at 1-844-22-LIGHT. That's 1-844-22-LIGHT. 425-4448. I'm Craig Turnbull, and on behalf of Robbie Simons, we invite you to join us again next time on Live in the Light.